यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा जय राधा माधवा Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe Jaya Panchatattva 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 Jaya Nrisimha Dev Jaya Nrisimha Dev Jaya Nrisimha Dev Jaya Nrisimha Dev Bhakta Prahlad, Jaya 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 Bhakta Prahlad, Prabhupad, 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 Jay Jay Prabhupad. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Ananta Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pariprajata Charja Astutara Sata Shishimad Srila Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pariprajakacharya Astutara Sata Shishimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shishi Radha Krishna Gogopinath Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai Navadip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Book Distribution Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Narayanam Namaskritya, Narayanam Namaskritya, Naram Chaiva Narottamam, Naram Chaiva Narottamam, Devim Saraswatim Vyasam, Vim Saraswatim Vyasam, Tato Jayam Mudirayet, Jayam Mudirayet, Nastapreshu Abhadreshu, Stapreshu Abhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke, Uttama Shloke, Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki, Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 16, text 25, up through text number 28. The chapter is Lord Parshuram Destroys the Ruling Class. So I'll chant the text number 28 is on the board. So I'll chant the verses up until text number 28. Jamadagyo pi Bhagavan Rama Kamala Lochanaha Agaminyantare Rajan Vartayisyati Vaibrihat. My dear King Parikshit, in the next Manvantara, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead Lord Parshuram, the son of Jamadagni, will be a great propounder of Vedic knowledge. In other words, he will be one of the seven sages. Text number 26. Aste dyapi mahendradro nyasta danda prasantadihi Upagiya mana charita siddha gandharva charanai. Lord Parashuram still lives as an intelligent brahmana in the mountainous country known as Mahendra, completely satisfied. Having given up all the weapons of a kshatriya, he is always worshipped, adored, and offered prayers for his exalted character and activities by such celestial beings as the Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas. Text number 27. Evam Bhrigushu Visvatma Bhagavan Harir Ishvaraha Avatirya Parampadram Bhuyohan Bahuso Nipan. In this way, the Supreme Soul, Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord, and the Supreme Controller, descended as an incarnation in the Bhrigu dynasty and released the universe from the burden of undesirable kings by killing them many times. So then text number 28 is here on the board. Gadir Adun Mahatejaha. Gadir Abun Mahateja Samidha Iva Pavakaha Samidha Iva Pavakaha Tapasa Shatramut Srijya Tapasa Chatram Utsvidya Yole Be Brahma Vachasam Yole Be Brahma Vachasam Please chant. Tapasa Satrimuchija Rade Brahmavachasa Rade Rabun Mahateja Pavaka Tapasa Satram Uchija Yodebe Brahma Svachasam. Vaishnavis? Mahateja Daiva Pavaka Tapasa Chatrin Uchidya Lalebe Brahma Vachasam Kadev Babu Mahateja Samidaiva Pavaka Tapasa Chatrin Uchidya Yolebe Brahma Vachasam Gadhe from Maharaj Gadhi. Abhut was born. Mahateja, very powerful. Samindaha, inflamed. Eva, like Pavakaha, fire. Tapasa, by austerities and penances. Kshatram, the position of a Kshatriya. Uchridja, giving up. Yak, one who, Viswamrita, Lebe, achieved. Brahmavachasam, the quality of a Brahmana. This translation, Viswamitra, the son of Maharaj Gadi, was as powerful as the flames of fire. From the position of a Kshatriya, he achieved the position of a powerful Brahmana by undergoing penances and austerities. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Now, having narrated the history of Lord Parshuram, Sukadev Goswami begins the history of Viswamrita. From the history of Parshuram, we can understand that although Parshuram belonged to the Brahminical group, he circumstantially had to work as a Kshatriya. Later, after finishing his work as a Kshatriya, he again became a Brahmana and returned to Mahendra Parvat. Similarly, we can see that though Viswamrita was born in a Kshatriya family, by austerities and penances he achieved the position of a Brahmana. These histories confirm the statements in Shastra that a Brahmana may become a Kshatriya may become a Brahmana or Vaishya, and a Vaishya may become a Brahmana by achieving the required qualities. One's status does not depend upon birth, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35 by Narada. Yasya lao lakshanam proktam pumso varna pivyanjalkam yad anya trapi drisyeta tat tenaiva vinirdisat. If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. To know who is a Brahmana and who is a Kshatriya, one must consider a man's quality and work. If all the unqualified Sudras become so-called Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, social order will be impossible to maintain. Thus, there will be discrepancies. Human society will turn into a society of animals, and the situation all over the world will be hellish. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangolangayate Girim Yat Kripastamahang Bande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Vanchakapataru Bhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Ghora Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Marama Hare Hare. Thank you all so much for asking me to give class here in Sridham Mayapur. I'm very grateful. We see by these histories, not stories, as the devotee said yesterday, that the positions in Varnashram are more fluid than we usually imagine. Viswamrita became a Brahmin by penance and austerity. Parashuram became a Kshatriya by his actions. Valmiki Muni was a hunter. He became the great author, the Adi Kavi of the Ramayana. So Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 13 says, Chatur Varnya Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. Krishna says that he designed the system, and society is meant to be divided by quality and work, never by birth, as it's degraded to be these days. So there was and there must always be social mobility according to quality and work. Otherwise, society becomes, as Prabhupada describes in the purport here, society becomes animalistic and hellish when unqualified people who are posing as religious and governmental leaders are in charge. Right? It becomes a hell. So I was just in Varanasi attending a conference called Rediscovering Mother Sita. And Shubha Vilas Prabhu was also speaking there. And he was asked to speak on the difficult subject of these days, the banishment of Mother Sita. And as usual these days, the character of Lord Ram was being criticized. He was being judged by the standards by which we live today. So Shubha Vilas Prabhu asked the audience a very interesting question. He didn't mention any names, but he posed a very good question. He said, would you rather be ruled by a leader who sacrifices the happiness of his own personal family for the good of the country and the people of the country, or would you rather be led by a leader who sacrifices the good and happiness of the country and the people in general for his own personal family? So he was pointing to certain leaders who are in power today. We won't mention their names, but think about it. It's an interesting question. And it really speaks to the great character, the exemplary character of Lord Ram. So today, many political so-called leaders in so many countries, we see so much nepotism, so much fraud, corruption, so much discrimination, disdain for the lower classes, and scapegoating of minorities. And among religious leaders, there's so much abuse of their positions. So-called Brahmins are supposed to exhibit amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shantim, arjavam, humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, and simplicity. But they become proud. So we should also not become proud of being disciples of Srila Prabhupada or the followers of Srila Prabhupada as though we are God's gift to the world. This is a very important point. That when people come to Sridham Mayapur or any of our other ISKCON temples, they should find the devotees there to be the most kind, the most caring, the most interested to serve them, to help them in any way possible, to care, to help them to take their next step forward in Krishna consciousness, whatever that might be. Srila Prabhupada once said that anyone who steps into an ISKCON temple is Krishna's personal special guest. So it's our job to treat them that way, to treat them as such. Yeah, so a true leader would actually prosecute his own son if he was found to be corrupt and promote a truly qualified person even from elsewhere, from another family or even a lower birth. There's a story, an ancient story, of a Brahmin teacher, and a potential student came to him hoping to study with this Brahmin teacher. And the teacher asked, "Who is your father?" And the boy said, "I don't know who is my father. I have to go ask my mother." So he went back to his mother, and his mother said, "I don't really know. I've had a very unfortunate life. I've had so many men, and I don't really know who is your father." So the boy went back to the Brahmin teacher, and he said to the Brahmin teacher, "I don't know who is my father, and my mother even doesn't know who is my father." And the teacher said, "You are a true Brahmin because you are honest." And he accepted him as a student. So you are a real Brahmin because you are so honest. Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan once told a story about a job interview. And there was a head interviewer in the company, and he had an assistant. And there were potential employees coming to take their interviews. So the first man came. He came in. He did not close the door. He sat down for the job interview, and he had all the qualifications for the job. And then the interviewer thanked him. The interviewee got up. He forgot to close the door, and then he left. And then another man came in. He carefully closed the door. He sat down for the interview, and he had none of the qualifications for the job. And then the interviewer thanked him. The gentleman got up, carefully closed the door, and left. So then the head interviewer asked his assistant, "So which one do you think I'm going to give the job to?" And his assistant said, "Well, it's obvious. The first man had all of the qualifications and the second man had none. So obviously you're going to give the job to the man who had all the qualifications." And the boss said, "No, I'm going to give the job to the man who had none of the qualifications because he carefully closed the door. And we can train him. He will learn. The other man, even though he had all the qualifications, we will never be able to train him for this job." So it's a very interesting point Srila Prabhupada was making, right? It's said that one should accept gold, even if it comes from a filthy place. One should accept a qualified wife, even if she comes from an obscure family. We should accept nectar from a stock of poison and accept good lessons, even from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. Srila Prabhupada expected us to lead by gaining the true qualities of a leader, not by what he called rubber stamping. Just rubber stamp qualifications. No, Srila Prabhupada didn't accept this. So there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, fourth chapter, 18th verse, if you'd like to look it up. It's very foundational to Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada's mission and preaching. And it goes like this. Maybe you know it. Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasa shumba abira shumba yavana kashadayaha yenyecha papa yad apasreashraya sudanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. So the verse describes many parts of the world. Maybe some of you are from these parts of the world. So the first one, Kirata, part of old Bharat. Huna, part of Germany and Russia. Andhra, the province of southern India. Pulinda, the Greeks. Pulkasa, some other province. Abira, part of old Sindh, the Sindhis. Shumba, another province, some other province. Yavana, the Turks. Kasadayaha, the Mongolian province. Basically, all of us, right? Basically, everyone, right? All the fallen people. So the verse says, all of these, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to his being the supreme power, Prabha Vishnu, the all-powerful Vishnu. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So this verse, we're talking about transformation, and this verse is all about transformation. By association, by taking shelter of the devotees of Lord Prabha Vishnu, the supreme powerful Vishnu, the hearts of all people, even animals of the world, can be transformed, as we saw in the beautiful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But according to Smarta Brahmins, a person not born in a Brahmana family could not be elevated to the position of a Brahmin. But Sanatana Goswami says in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that anyone can be elevated to the position of a Brahmin by the process of initiation. Yata kanchana tam yati kamsyam rasa vidanataha tata diksha vidanena dvijatam jayate nrinam. As bell metal is turned to gold when mixed with mercury in an alchemical process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a brahmana. We have heard that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the Panchatattva broke open the storehouse of love of God, and that they did not discriminate between who was a fit candidate and who was not. Srila Prabhupada also did not discriminate between who was a fit candidate and who was not. So who are we to discriminate, right? Who are we to discriminate if our lords do not discriminate? There's a story given in the scriptures that Sri Advaita gave the first remnants of his Shraddha ceremony that he was performing for his departed father. He gave the first remnants of the Shraddha ceremony to Haridas Thakur, the so-called untouchable, rather than to so many highly born and even qualified brahmanas. There's another story here in Mayapur that once the sewers got blocked up and the fields became flooded with excrement from the toilets. I don't know if you've heard this story before. Maybe you've heard this. So the Gurukula boys were helping to unclog the systems. They hiked their dhotis up high and they were actually wading through muck in the field. Would you like to do that? I would not like to do that. I don't know who asked them to do that. But anyway, they were doing it. And Srila Prabhupada was watching this from his balcony up above. And he said, he made a very interesting comment. He said, this is Brahman, because they are willing to do any service for Krishna. This is Brahman. So this is Prabhupada's classification of who is a qualified Brahman. We have a friend in Washington, D.C., who is a scholar. He also happens to be a Jesuit priest. And he studied Bhagavad Gita with a Vaishnava guru from another sampradaya, not the Gaudiya sampradaya, but another sampradaya in Vrindavan. And his guru taught him Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, in particular verses 19 and 20, that say, those who are envious and mischievous, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Attaining repeated birth among species of demoniac life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. So, no hope, no possibility of transformation. Like the old Christian Calvinist idea, the idea of being cursed to hell forever. So just imagine without the Bhaktivedanta purports, without Srila Prabhupada's merciful explanations of transformation by the association of a Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhavasta Saki Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada's explanations of transformation by the powerful association of a powerful pure devotees, even a Vrindavan Goswami can so easily misunderstand and mislead others. So think about it. If there's no transformation possible for us, what is the point of inquiry into Brahman in the first place? What's the point of all the Vedic literature? Why did Srila Prabhupada leave Vrindavan, spending 39 days at sea, two heart attacks on board, with no medicine, no doctor, at such personal sacrifice to go to New York City in the coldest winter in New York history, alone, impoverished, starving, suffering hunger pains at night, alone with only his Krishna? Why did he do that? If there's no question of transformation, what about Murghari the hunter? What about Jagai and Madhai? What about so many stories of transformation of the heart in Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and all Vedic literatures? So just as the verse says, as ordinary iron can be turned into gold by an alchemical process, so by the process of bhakti, our iron-like hearts can be transformed to become like gold, to become lovers of our beautiful golden Gauranga and Radha Madhava. But just like a tiny seed has to break out of its pod in order to sprout, or a caterpillar has to break through a chrysalis in order to fly as a butterfly, or a snake has to cast off its old skin, or a child has to be born from the womb, we have to give up a certain part of ourselves in order to transform. An external, no longer wanted conception of ourselves as material. We have to loosen and cast off, slack off the external skin, the misconception of ourselves as this body and mind, and as a part of this material realm. It's said that a part of us dies if we transform, and a part of us dies if we choose not to transform. So which one will we choose? We have to ask ourselves that. Right? Prabhupada uses the phrase, for those who like to keep things as they are, spiritual life is difficult work. This is in Nectar of Devotion. So if we choose to try to keep things as they are in a material concept of life, my spiritual advancement won't take root, won't gain strength. My bhakti creeper will be restricted from growing tall and strong. If I don't try to give up material desires, habits, and addictions, if I draw a Lakshman Rekha around my heart and tell Krishna, don't you ever cross this line, how can my heart be transformed, right? If I struggle to maintain non-negotiable material desires, how can Krishna pull me to the shelter of his lotus feet? How can we enter Lord Nityananda's marketplace of the holy name if we have no faith? With only old, non-negotiable, 1,000-rupee notes, right? You can't trade them in at the bank, right? Non-negotiable. So how can we enter the holy name with if we don't have that faith? So it sounds very kind of sad and depressing, our situation. But So what's the medicine for transforming our hearts? Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to Bhagavad Gita 6:35, he says, hearing about Krishna and in the association of devotees is the very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind, transforming the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. This is in the purport to the verse where Arjuna says, I think it's impossible to control the restless mind. And Krishna says, no, it's possible by detachment and practice. So in the purport to that verse, this is Prabhupada's suggestion. This is Prabhupada's remedy and suggestion. So I wanted to close with some words of encouragement from Srila Prabhupada's guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So listen carefully. Try to open your ear holes because it's hard to listen to something that's being read. It's not that long, but it's very beautiful and profound. So try to open up your ear holes. Okay, he says, bear in mind that we are not the operators of instruments, but merely instruments ourselves. We must constantly offer our music at the lotus feet of Sri Guru. We should practice the work of being a preacher by carrying aloft the banner of Sri Gaurasundara's divine commands. By perpetual service to Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas, fixing our eyes on the pole star of the heard transcendental voice. If in that duty, under the guidance of Sri Guru, we are always inspired to discourse about the truth, he says, then no hankering for travel or any veiled form of desire other than the chanting of Harinam will ever strike terror into our hearts. Strike terror into our hearts. No veiled desires. So thank you all so very much. These are a few thoughts about transformation. And maybe we have a little time for reflection or comments or questions. First of all, it's so nice to reflect back. What did you just hear? What was significant or important for you? Any reflections? Yes, Kaliya Damana Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you for being here and coming with your preaching partner, Anutama Das. It's interesting, a little reflection came I haven't thought about in a long time, is the old ISKCON Garuda bus, temple bus program. We were traveling the U.S. The bus program was chartered by student groups, religious studies classes. Okay.
I think you have to turn the mic.
How's this? A little better? Oh, there we go. So the bus program was chartered by just the public, and we were chartered one time to the largest Buddhist temple outside of China and Japan in the world. It happens to be a place in Northern California near Ukiah, kind of by Mount Kailash, the old ashram up there. Anyway, we spent time with a master, the Rinpoche, happened to be there visiting, and their management was very, very interesting, and everybody was vying for the position of the Rinpoche. He was the top man. He was the boss. And his service was so exalted that they were fighting, they'd fight over it. His position was, he cleaned the toilets and the bathrooms.
Wow.
And the new people who came in were the managers. That was really interesting. So you just kind of gave that reflection of
the new people became the managers.
They were the managers because they were qualified on that level. But to qualify to clean the toilets.
And he was cleaning the toilets. How beautiful.
Yeah,
have you ever been to a Sikh Gurdwara? The most coveted service there is the person who takes the shoes. That's the most coveted service. There's even a story in Christianity that the night before the Last Supper, Jesus washed the feet of all his disciples. I remember one year when Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was the chairman of the GBC, I said, we should do that in Mayapur. Have the whole GBC wash everyone's feet before they come in the temple. He said, no, it would never work in Mayapur. But he did have a good idea from that suggestion. He had the whole GBC that year serve prasadam
to all the Gurukula boys and all the devotees, which was really a beautiful thing. So we can get so many creative ideas of how to become more humble, how to become more prideless, how to become nonviolent, simple, and tolerant. Thank you. Any other thoughts, reflections? What did this bring up for you? Yes, Prabhu, my old friend from Laguna Beach.
Hare Krishna.
If Prabhupada hadn't sent us to your high school, then you might not be here today. We spoke in his high school when he was maybe 15, 16.
Now it's on, okay. It shows me how we all have to remain teachable, and especially Indian people have to know that just because they have Indian tradition doesn't mean they know how to do many of the things. We find sometimes it's easier to teach Westerners how to do artik and do things because they're learning from scratch. And also as devotees, we always have to be willing to learn something new. But that's kind of a shock I see sometimes when Indian people don't do the artik right because they did it by the family tradition and they have to be retrained.
There may be so many different families and so many traditions, but there's Western pride, there's Indian pride, there's all kinds of pride. I heard that Vaisheshika Prabhu has a new way of distributing Bhagavad Gita to Indian people, people from India. He says, have you read Bhagavad Gita? And they say, oh yes, yes, yes. And then he says, have you read the whole thing? And no one can really say, yes, they've read the whole thing. So that's his entree into distributing a book to them.
We have to always be willing to learn something more.
That's a beautiful point.
Keep reading and keep trying to be trained.
Right.
Here they train the people. They don't just figure they're Indians. They know how to do artik. They have to be trained.
Right. As soon as we think we know everything, that's the end of our progress in spiritual life. Thank you. Such a nice point. Anybody else? Any Vaishnavis with a comment, a reflection? Yes. Someone there in the second row.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your wonderful class. And I was thinking while listening, all of you, that Prabhupada and you have been stressing, talking about transformation, so humility. So
and also what?
Humility. Mm. And Prabhupada has such big expectations and this gift of his disciples and followers to raise over conditionings. And at the same time, we need to be really very humble in order to become instruments in his hands. So if you can elaborate how to blend both things.
Yes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, taking up humility, by the power of humility, we take up the order to preach the divine command. And in Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, the verses 8 through 13, it's the list of the aggregate of knowledge, everything that makes up knowledge. And the first five are so essential and so important. Actually, first comes humility, then pridelessness, then nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity. So I was wondering, why does it kind of says humility twice? Humility and then pridelessness, what's the difference? So once I asked Radhana Swami, why it kind of says the same thing twice. Why does it say humility and then pridelessness? So he gave me a very interesting answer. He said that humility is a positive attribute which one can cultivate and acquire by the process of devotional service. And he said, whereas pridelessness is just absence of pride, that even an impersonalist might have an absence of pride. So that was very interesting to me. So I think we need to study those qualities, try to imbibe them. Yes, my dear Siksha Guru Madhavananda Prabhu.
Thank you for such an inspiring class. It was really nice to hear. I was really struck by one point you were making, Prabhupada's making in the purport, about the importance of qualification and transformation. And he quotes the verse, Yashiyal Lakshanam Proktam, that by the qualification of someone we should judge them. And I was thinking how important this is for a society. We live in Jagannath Puri, and in Jagannath Puri it looks a lot like ISKCON. people chant Hare Krishna, they worship Krishna and Jagannath and Mahaprabhu, and they do pretty much everything we do, but what is the difference? Most of them are smartas, and they're absorbed in external things and rituals, and they by birth and caste and things like that. So I was just thinking how important this is for a society, that our main point should be qualification, not external things.
Yeah.
I had another short thing. I was thinking about humility. There's a nice story. There's one Catholic saint. Her name was Gemma.
Gemma?
Gemma. Yeah, she passed away when she was like 16 or 17 years old. Very young lady. Very extraordinary person. And as a story I'd just like to tell real quick. Her spiritual director, Father Germanus, he decided to test her humility. And so one day he told her, he said, "You're offering all these prayers, but why would Jesus want to dirty himself with a cesspit, the toilet, that is Gemma?" And when Gemma heard that, if I heard something like that, I would want to punch him in the nose. When Gemma heard that, a huge smile came on her face, and she was full of great joy because finally she found the prayer that she was looking for. So finally she found the prayer that she was looking for so long. And therefore after that, she would always address Christ, "My dear Jesus, why do you want to dirty yourself with the cesspit that is Gemma?"
Wow. So beautiful. So humble. So yeah, we can take lessons from all of the world cultures. Such great lessons in humility. Let's see what. Any other? Yes, Maharaj. Beautiful. The cesspit of Rukmini.
Thank you. Oh, nice class, Mataji. And fellow Sabha men. In Bhagavad Gita, for instance, in 333, he's saying, even a man of knowledge follows his own nature. Why is that? Because everybody follows the nature. What can repression accomplish? And there are some other verses warning us of the danger of performing a duty, someone else's duty. And that's by material estimation, of course. But at the same time, I think part of humility is, of course, we're all on different levels, but part of humility would be also to recognize the daunting task we have to actually transcend our natures. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of warning, even right in Bhagavad Gita, that the conditioning by the most material nature is very difficult to overcome. Yes, one who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond them, that's there. But I think part of our humility is to have a healthy respect for how powerful the modes of nature are and our conditioning is. Not to become hopeless, but to not have a sort of a overconfident attitude about it. Just a suggestion.
Thank you. Very good point. Not to be overconfident and to take into account our nature. We cannot take up someone else's nature or someone else's work. We have to really try to understand who we are and how we can serve. And with the help of our guru, with the help of deep prayer, how we can serve. But I also think I'm very inspired by this quote by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, where he really does give us hope. He says that we should practice the work of being a preacher by carrying aloft the banner of Sri Gaurasundar's divine commands. So we may think, well, who am I to go out and distribute books? I'm too shy, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. There's a beautiful story about Jadarani, actually, that once Srila Prabhupada said, I mean, she became such a proficient artist, wonderful painter, and Prabhupada once said, this girl was not meant to be an artist. He said, this girl was not meant to be an artist, but because she took my instructions to paint so seriously, Krishna has empowered her in such amazing ways. So there's so many stories like this. The what about the story of the blind devotee at Varshana, right? At Man Mandir. He was worshipping Krishna and Radharani's pastime of the peacock dance. And he was worshipping this pastime with his really innermost heart. And Krishna gave him the instruction to paint it. And he says, how can I paint it? I'm blind. And Krishna said, I will give you the intelligence. And somehow Krishna gave him the intelligence. He ground up herbs and unguents and minerals, and he painted. That painting is there at Varshana. So many stories like that. We can become empowered. I always think of New York City when you see someone on a bicycle. They have a lot of people die in New York City on bicycles. They get hit by cars. But sometimes you see someone on a bicycle holding onto the back of a truck. So maybe on the bike, she could or he could be going at 10 or 20 miles per hour, but then by holding onto the back of a truck, they can go 30 or 40 miles per hour. So how scary. It always makes me very scared. But it's also a metaphor for grace, and it's a metaphor for the mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga, that I could be carried by a velocity much beyond my own personal capacity by holding on tightly to their lotus feet. So I think that's a nice example. We have a little more time. Are there other thoughts? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for a nice class. Thank you for a nice class, Mataji. Very nice.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add a story that follows on from Maharaj's comment about not being overconfident. And one thing is that, you know, especially in the West, you know, we come almost as a clean slate, and so we learn, you know, nicely the first time how to do things. We don't have to unlearn things. But on the other side, there's a story of something I learned from the Indian community. It was when I was a brahmachari. I'd go out distributing books with another devotee, senior, much senior to me. And he used to be preaching, and there was a girl he used to be preaching to. And Indian community, and people in the Indian community I know, came up to me and they said, Prabhu, you have to say something to this Prabhu. You have to say something to him. And I just blew it off. I said, well, you know, I'm distributing every day with him. I know what he's doing. He's doing nothing wrong. He's in public and so forth. So I let it go. Then next week, I get another complaint from another Indian member. Oh, you know, you have to be careful. This is not right. It was a public thing, and then I just ignored it. And then later on, I found out that this devotee had to go away. He had to step down from his position because he was actually, where there's smoke, there's fire. So at that point, I had an epiphany. I realized that, well, I'm in the temple. I'm in a brahmachari. I'm learning all these verses. I'm doing full devotional service. And, you know, they're working outside, but they're Indians, and so they knew something about the culture. And something that can save us, can help us. It's at that point that I started realizing that there is something to this Varnashram Dharm, there's something to this Indian culture. So, and that was, in this case, this is showing us not to be overconfident. Take shelter of all the instructions.
Beautiful. Thank you. Very nice point. And maybe if there's someone senior to you and you don't feel like you can say something, maybe there's someone else that you could ask to say something. But
I didn't even know at this point. You know, I didn't even think there was anything wrong. It's just that had to happen before I even realized that, oh, there's something, you know, there's something up.
My Prabhu is Mr. ISKCON Communications, and when we were raising Gauravani, he would say to me, this is a very important instruction in the field of communications, he would say to me, when someone is talking and someone is listening, we've all heard that we have one mouth and two ears, the mouth is naturally closed, the ears are naturally open. So when one person is talking and one person is the listener, who's controlling the conversation? What do you think? Who's controlling the conversation, the person who's talking or the person who's listening? the one who's listening. So as a mother, you know, we can yak, 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 or as a junior brahmachari, maybe you could say something. Maybe he wouldn't hear it, but maybe there's someone else he would hear it from. Prabhu, you have a thought? Your point was about culture, though, which is a very nice point. We have so much to learn. Actually, once Srila Prabhupada said, if my disciples come to India and they don't learn anything, they're fools.
Full disclosure, this is my wife giving class, so we have to speak and act with integrity. I'm just curious, you are one of Prabhupada's senior most women disciples. You were with Prabhupada in India in the early 1970s, having become a member of ISKCON in 1968. You talked about transformation and engaging in devotional service. As our movement grows, often there will be a lot of discussions about how to best apply Krishna consciousness in different situations and different times. And there are some very sincere devotees who these days advocate that their interpretation is that Prabhupada specifically engaged and allowed women of your generation to do certain things, chant Gayatri, be brahmanas, worship on the altar, give classes, etc. But those sometimes people, very sincere devotees, they advocate that's actually not what Prabhupada wanted. What Srila Prabhupada was really doing was making concessions for you and people of your generation, and it's our job in the future to unravel things Prabhupada did, knowing what he really meant, what the long-term vision should be. Could you just comment on that from your experience directly with Prabhupada? What would your thoughts on that be?
Well, Srila, thank you. You're putting me on the spot here. Thanks a lot. Srila Prabhupada was not a stereotyped person, and he engaged people not in stereotyped ways. There was a letter, maybe a famous letter, that he sent to New Vrindavan saying the ladies at New Vrindavan should churn butter and raise children. And then a few weeks later, he wrote another letter to another temple saying, all my sons and daughters should learn to preach and study my books and learn my books so that they can become first-class preachers. So it was just in a matter of a few weeks. There's a story in Vrindavan. A few young men had just taken sannyas. And Srila Prabhupada, again, I'm making the point, he was not a stereotype teacher. So he said to one of the new sannyasis, you've just taken sannyas, so now you stay here and manage this temple. And to the other one, who had just taken sannyas, he said, you've just taken sannyas, now you have to travel and preach. Don't spend more than a few days in any one temple. So how are we to understand? Srila Prabhupada was speaking to the individual. There are and always have been different kinds of people who have different natures and will serve in different ways. One of the first things Prabhupada ever said to me, he said, do you know any languages other than English? Do you know how to type? He was trying to figure out how to engage me, but he certainly never asked me to churn butter. So if we become stereotyped according to that's where this verse and purport started, that I said that these positions in Varnashram are more fluid than we imagine them to be, and there was social mobility even in ancient times. So Srila Prabhupada was always seeing and speaking to the individual. Many times he would get asked the same question, and he would answer it in different ways according to the mentality of the person asking. Are you seeing God? He was asked, many times he was asked that. Are you seeing God? Once he said, no, because you're standing in the way. Another time, in a very sincere way, someone said, are you seeing God? And Srila Prabhupada so gently said, yes, and you are also seeing God. Every day, don't you see the sunrise? Don't you see the moonrise? Don't you taste water every day? I mean, once he said an amazing thing. It's actually written in the prayers of Kunti Devi and his purports in that book. Prabhupada says, this is in writing. Some people say, oh, the conversations are one thing, writing is different. In his written purports, he says, even if a drunkard would just remember that Krishna is the taste of the wine that he's seeking, even a drunkard can become God conscious. How unstereotyped is that? Actually, I wanted to share one other little sweet story. It was a Vyas Puja day, and many devotees were coming up and offering Srila Prabhupada their beautiful prayers. Srila Prabhupada, you are Patita Pavana, you are the savior of the fallen, you're going on so many flowery words. But a devotee was sitting right at the base of the Vyasasan, and he was hearing Srila Prabhupada say under his breath, after each disciple spoke, this devotee was hearing Prabhupada say, now you become. You become. So in other words, whatever you're saying to me, oh, you are the savior of the fallen, you are this, you are that, Prabhupada was like flipping it around like a boomerang. Now you become. Whatever you're saying to me, you become that. How empowering. How beautiful. So yeah, I mean, Prabhupada sent his disciples, unqualified disciples all over the world, with no money, with no institutional backing. Just go. You went to Africa, right? Prabhupada sent Burjan to Japan. So how unqualified we were, and yet what he did. So thank you very much. My time is up. Hare Krishna.
हरे कृष्णा जय नृसिंहदेव भगवान की ओम नरसिंहाय नमः ओम महासिंहाय नमः ओम दिव्यसिंहाय नमः
महाप्रभु ही एग्जीक्यूटेड सो मेनी स्वीट पास्ट टाइम्स He'll go to Chandkaji, then Jagannath Temple, many places. He'll hear a lot of things there also. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimantini Devi ki. Navajitrikama ki. Gaura Pramanandi.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Now we're going to have a drama. Pancharatna Prabhu. Yeah. And they have a club and they have a nice temple here also. They're providing us these facilities. And with small donations, they're developing this place, making this place better and better for us. So they're appealing, they'll go around. Whatever donation you can give to them, please help them also. So that they can maintain this place nicely. That we'll peacefully can come and sit and discuss. Go to here. Thank you so much.